You know, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about a survey we just did. It's pretty interesting. We managed to recruit 261 women with metastatic breast cancer from across the country. IRB study, anonymous. We recruited the women through oncologists that we had worked with around the country, support groups. I'm sure it wasn't a typical group, high fraction of Caucasian women, highly educated women, but still 261 women. And there were a number of things that we asked them. And one of the things we asked them was to do a report card on their oncologist, A through F, in terms of overall care provided. And then we asked them about 8 specific items, particularly related to communication and sort of clinical skills. And when we looked at the specifics, even though all of the qualities were rated high, things like amount of time spent with them, listening, caring, the general things were rated very high. The one area that the oncologist dropped down a little bit relative to the others was providing information. Information about the treatment, benefits, information about side effects, still rated high, but not quite as high. And when we look more specifically into that, we saw that there was an interest in getting maybe a little bit more information. Another thing we asked, and I'll ask you to predict this, and we actually surveyed 50 oncologists and 50 nurses and asked them to predict too. So we asked them this question too. We said to these women, we wanted to get into a little bit of the issue of method of administration of treatment. We were talking before about capecitabine, for example. So we said to them, we had two questions. One, we said, imagine you're about to switch therapy and there's going to be a choice between an oral chemotherapeutic agent and an intravenous chemotherapeutic agent. Let's just assume they have the same exact side effects and benefit, which of course, in terms of capecitabine and IV chemotherapy really isn't quite true, but we were going to focus on the method of administration. So we said, what would you prefer? So what do you think they said?
I think most patients would prefer oral chemotherapy.
What fraction do you think preferred IV?
25%.
It was about 65% preferred oral, I think 25 IV and 10 sort of in between. But it wasn't like 2% preferred IV, which
right.
I thought was kind of interesting. That relates to the other thing we asked them is to say, you're going to get a new form of hormonal therapy, either a pill once a day or an IM injection once a month. Again, assuming same side effects and toxicity. And here, I think when you look at fulvestrant versus an AI or tamoxifen, probably it is pretty comparable. Would you agree?
Yeah.
What do you think they said in that situation?
I would still say 3/4 would prefer a pill.
Ballpark. Actually, it was 55% pill, 35% IM injection, and 10% sort of neutral. But within the bounds of the bias of this study and statistical error. But I think the thing that's interesting is you look at the lifestyle of these women. On average, they had 12 encounters. Clinical encounters, mostly oncologist office visits in the last 3 months.
It's a lot.
A lot. I mean, to me, they're living in the oncologist's office. But the other thing, we asked them, do you chat about the disease with other patients in the office? And more than 2/3 said yes. And most of them do it because they value it. So what we saw, and we asked them about, do you get information on the internet, you know, different things. When you put it all together, it looked like other patients in the oncologist's office, particularly in the treatment room, were a major source of information for these patients in the metastatic setting. Does that jive with what you've seen?
Well, there's support groups where I think that's essentially what it is in the treatment room, too, sort of an ad hoc support group of, you know, what are you getting? You know, this is what I'm getting. These are my side effects. I think that, you know, it makes sense to look to others in a similar situation, find out how they're doing and how they've done with different agents.
What would you guess the fraction of women with metastatic breast cancer is who have left an oncologist because they're not happy with the oncologist? We found 20%. Does that sound high, low, or in between?
I would have guessed 25%.
Really?
Sure.
So you think that it's not uncommon to switch oncologists?
No, I think it's quite common.
Huh.
I think that it's a major illness. Your doctor isn't just taking care of your high blood pressure and your high cholesterol. I think it's an illness that you will be with this physician for hopefully several years. And establishing a rapport, I think, is an important component of the care that you receive. You may have a great response, but it's much more meaningful if you have a relationship with that physician. I think it's very important to establish a therapeutic relationship with patients. And it doesn't work for all patients and all physicians. You know, we're all human beings, and sometimes things click and sometimes they don't. No matter how compassionate you are or how much you do, we're all human beings. I think physicians sometimes forget that. And I also think patients expect a tremendous amount from their physicians. And so it's a give and take, you know, and it works for the majority of patients, and you can establish relationships. And sometimes it just is not going to work. And I think people need to find the doctor that they're happy with.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our speakers, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Breast Cancer Update.